It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in Genesis chapter 35. We're going to pick up reading at the 8th verse. Genesis 35 verse 8 as we continue to study through the book of Genesis. I'm glad that you've joined us today. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. Hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and begin to read along with us today. Genesis chapter 35, beginning to read with verse 8. 35:8. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon-Bakuth. And God appeared unto Jacob again, when he came out of Paddan Aram, and blessed him. God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. He called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. It came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died, and was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar up on her grave, that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, and the sons of Leah was Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaiden, was Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaiden, was Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Paddan Aram. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Let's begin with prayer after we've read the precious word. Father, please, that you will guide and lead us and show us your way and your will. It's so important, Lord, that you will guide and lead us each step of the way. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for all that are listening today. Please, that you will touch every one of our hearts as we pore over your word, look to your word, whether Father, they be young or old, I just ask that they listen and listen so carefully to your word, Lord. Today there are so many that say just enough about your word or speak of your word enough that people don't realize that they're being lied to. They're being taught something contrary to your truths. Now please, Lord, have us that are listening today to listen so carefully. I ask, Father, that I teach it ever so clearly. I ask that it is received as your word because they are reading it. There's no question that what I'm saying is true and is right. Help us, Lord, to see your truth. And again, I ask that you help me to teach it properly, Lord. I'm a human as anybody, and so please don't let me make a mistake when I'm teaching your word. Let me teach it clearly and properly and right, that all may listen. And when I teach it correctly, when I do that, I know, Father, that your power can go forth and folks will be touched and souls will be saved and lives will be changed, not because of how I say it or even the words. It is your word. That's the reason. It's not something that I am saying. It's what you're saying through me. I can't stress that enough, Lord. Help folks to understand that it's important to stay to your word, to your truth. I ask, Father, that you'll convict the hearts of the lost today with their sin, that they'll come to see and to find you. I ask, Father, that those that are saved, that they'll begin to walk with you. Help us to see and to know the truth today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've watched as we've went through the situation with Esau, and now we find another situation with the sons of Jacob as they attacked the folks in a land that they were actually living in, and it was the Hivites, if you'll remember right. And when it was all said and done, why we find that two of Jacob's sons, of Israel's sons, went up and actually put to death Simeon and Levi. They went up with a sword and slew all the males, the scripture said. They slew Hamor and Shechem. And all the males. Then the rest of the brothers went in and spoiled the land and took what was left, including even the wealth of the land and the families and all that. And as Jacob then was feared for his life for what these boys had done, they began to move. And on the way, why we find that there has been some big things happening. And a couple of those things that's been happening here is that, remember, Jacob said to his household, "Put away the strange gods that are among you, be clean, and change your garments." Now, that's a wonderful instruction for every one of us. We need to put the gods away, the things that we worship, other gods, the little gods, the things that occupy our time, and the things that we're so... it just almost possesses us. We need to be careful that we look to the true God and Him only for guidance and for leadership and for power, and we get our joy from Him and not from us looking so much today at the things of this life and of this world. We have so many gods. Help us. We need help to see the truth. And we need to be asking God all the time to do that He would guide and lead us and show us the gods that we're worshiping. God, please, I'm so far away from you that I don't even recognize that I'm not worshiping you. Well, so often that's the case, and we need to ask God to clear our minds and set our eyes and set our hearts towards Him and begin that walk. Well, He put away strange gods among you, and be clean, change your garments, then we find that he has collected all this, and he buried it underneath an oak tree so that no one could find these gods that they were worshiping, because in many cases it was statues, things like that. In our case today, most of the time it's not a statue, it's not something like that. It's an idea, a principle. It's recreation. You know, many people, their god is golf. Many people, their god is basketball or football or boating or camping or anything. You know, there's so many things that occupy our time today that go against the power of God and the strength of God, and it doesn't allow us time to serve and to praise and honor Him. So please, that we look to Him today. We find that they have been buried. Jacob buried them so they couldn't get in. They journeyed from there, and we find that the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. This is all review from last week, and last time we were together, and as you look at that terror, you know, Jacob was the one that was afraid of what they might do. Well, it didn't matter, because God had placed a fear with the people, and as he traveled from place to place, these people wouldn't have touched Jacob and his people for anything, because they were afraid of them. You see, when we go with God's power, we don't have to worry about that enemy, because we have the protection of God around us. When we go without his power, that's when we need to worry or be concerned or be fearful of what might take place or happen. And so we find that the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. And remember, Jacob was concerned that might happen after what his two boys, well, all the boys had eventually done there with going into the land and destroying the land and then taking all the spoils of this land of the Hivites, if you'll remember right. Now, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all his people that were with him, he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. And El Bethel, if you remember, Bethel means house of God. El Bethel means God of the house. And so we need to see that we come in to worship God, that we come to such a place, the God of the house. We have such respect as we come together, as each of us gather together, which make up the church, the people make up the church, that we're coming and we're gathering because of something God has done in our lives, not something that we have produced or managed or brought about. And so, yes, Bethel is house of God, but the God of the house is El Bethel, and that's what Jacob called it here. And now we find the death of one. And as we begin with the death of this Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, she died. She was buried beneath Bethel under an oak. The name of it was called Alon Bekuth. And as we look to see, it means oak of weeping. There must have been a great love for this lady, the care that she had provided and everything. And I believe that they were quite touched by her death. And they, again, the meaning of that is oak of weeping. And so we have the death of Deborah here. And once again, after this takes place, just the events in Jacob's life as it progresses here, we go from him running to him being afraid of what's going on, to the point of making some good, clear stands for God, as he should, when it says, put away the strange gods that are among you, be clean and change your garments. And that was a must. It had to be done. And we need to see that we do the same. We get rid of our old filthy garments. We get rid of our gods. And we begin to serve, praise, and honor as a new vessel, that we may bring glory and honor unto the Lord. And we have the death of this this one. And then we find God appearing unto Jacob again, the scripture says, when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. Okay, here's a wonderful blessing that is coming from God to Jacob, or to Israel. God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. Now, you know, as we look back through the scriptures, we find in an earlier time that his name was changed. And he just keeps clarifying that. And now we find him making it all the stronger. And you wonder, again, where, as many times the nation of Israel. You wonder where that name came from. Well, it was God-given. And so, you know, when we look at the Israelites, and you know, however you want to look at them, good or bad, they are God's people, and you need to recognize that God expects us to lift up, to have a favor, to have a love towards the nation of Israel, because it is His chosen. And we find that through this, of course, you know, we find the birth of the Lord Jesus when it comes through the line of Jacob, through Israel. But here we find that this name, this wonderful name, is given unto Jacob. And that is the name of the nation. And when you hear it on the news, why did you ever realize that that was a God-given name? And it was to a family, a certain family that was given. It was given to a certain man. And then that man's family has taken on that name for themselves as a people, and the land that belongs to them, which is the land of Canaan. And so we know that many have tried for years to totally annihilate the Israelites. They have tried. Many world leaders through the years have slaughtered millions of Israelites, of Jews, and they just can't seem to kill them. They just can't seem to annihilate them as they would like to. And of course they're not going to, because God said there will always be a remnant. And no matter what this old world tries to do to God's people, they are going to be present. They're God spoken, God chosen, and they're going to carry out what God has put into place. And there's going to be a time during the coming to light a little bit through the tribulation, but through the millennial reign of Christ, 1,000 years upon this land, the nation of Israel will come to its fullness. And so be prepared for that, and know that it's going to happen. And don't think anything of this world or any world leader, that no matter how much they hate him. And you think about all the hatred and the murders and the desire to put away the nation of Israel, the Jews. How much for centuries, really from the beginning of this time, they have tried to put away and destroy the nation of Israel. And be assured that folks, if you love Israel, folks are going to hate you. And as long as this country stands with the nation of Israel, the world is going to hate the United States. But please, I beg the leaders of this land that we look to the Word of God for our direction. You say, oh, we can't mix religion and government or state. Oh, that we're not mixing religion. That's talking about a church running the land. We're talking about a God that should be running this land. And we're to follow His guidance and His leadership. And if we don't follow the God that created this world, we're in a lot of trouble. Jacob, his name is changed to Israel. The people, Israel, same folks. Born from the loins of Abraham, from Isaac, from Jacob. Let's look at what this land, and look at the promise now that we have in verse 11. God said unto him, I am God Almighty. I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee. The king shall come out of thy loins. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee will I give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. There's never been a land promised to a people as is to Israel. Never. I don't care how much land you own, how much property, how many buildings you own, how large your business is. It's not yours. It's on loan to you. Because God's the only one that can give you the deed to this land. And God gave the deed to the land of Israel. He gave them land. And so they're the only ones that have the rights to it. No one else does, no matter what our government or any other government says. They have the rights to it because their God gave it to them. Our God gave it to them if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look at what's coming I am God Almighty, God All Sufficient, El Shaddai. You've heard that song, maybe, El Shaddai, God All Sufficient, God Almighty. That's what that means. I am all sufficient, Jacob. You follow me. Your name now is no longer Jacob, it is Israel. So Israel, you follow me. Be fruitful and multiply. I will make you a nation. A company of nations shall be of thee. Kings shall come from thy loins. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. Verse 12, that was verse 12. God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Jacob called the name of the place which God spake unto him, Bethel, Bethel, house of God. You know, we have sure enjoyed that name for a long time, because Abraham come through and called that place. That place was Bethel, house of God. Jacob is back. He called the place where God spake with him, Bethel, house of God. You know, that is a very sacred place unto Jacob, unto Abraham, and even to Isaac. And as we come into the house of God, as believers join together, that's what makes it a house of God. It's sure not this building. It's the coming together of the believers that make this a house of God. And when we come together, we should come with our hearts prepared to learn. We should come with a servant attitude that we are here to serve in any manner God would call us to. And we are coming to bless and honor and praise our holy God. That's what we're coming. We need to come with a heart of repentance, a heart of walking to him and with him. That's the condition. A broken heart, a humble heart. That's what we should have when we come into the house of God. We should not come with pride or an arrogant attitude. We need to come into God's house desiring with all of our heart to serve, praise, and honor him. And I hope that you, when you walk into church, when you go into your home church, I hope, number one, that the gospel is preached. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And I'm not talking about just that general statement made. I'm talking about that you have a personal relationship with him. And if your pastor doesn't call you to a place of repentance, calls you to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, confessing your sin to him, he will take your sin away. He will set you free. Now, people today believe in a universal salvation, and that is that everybody's saved. God is love. Everybody's saved. That is not taught in the Word of God. And so if you just go to church, have your confirmation, have your baptism, have all those things, take your communion and everything, and as long as you stay in that church, you believe that you're okay, you're acceptable, you're lying to yourself. And if your preacher's teaching you that, he's lying to you too. Because the Word of God clearly tells us that we need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to come to him by faith. And we need to trust in him. You'll have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want you to do that today. And then I want you to begin that wonderful walk. A walk that lasts for an eternity. It lasts through all this life and on into the next. A walk. And the growing will continue through this life as we are growing and walking closer to him. But please, don't just assume that you're a child of God. Don't just think that I'm saved. Please, you'll know that you have met the true and holy God if you have come to him and truly trust in him. If you haven't, then you don't know what I'm talking about. You say, I'm saved, Larry. Tell me when. Tell me when you were saved. Now, maybe you can't tell me the day. Maybe you can't tell me the month. Maybe you can't even tell me the year. But you can take me to the place. And you can tell me the people that were around, or if no one at all was around. You'll remember that day you met the living God when Jesus Christ came into your heart. And if you don't, you're not saved. And you can tell me all you want to, Larry, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm telling you the Word of God. I ask that you repent today and turn to Him. Coming to Him, please. This place, this wonderful place, this wonderful blessing that God has given unto Israel, that I will make you a fruitful nation, multiplying a nation and a company of nations, I will make you. Kings shall come out of your loins. All these promises and the promise of the land to Abraham and to Isaac and now to Israel, to Jacob. And God went up from that place, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering there upon it. He worshipped God. He poured oil there upon. He is in a setting of worship, a setting of praise. And again, he called that place Bethel. And now we begin, and something begins to change again. As all of our lives, one minute we're just walking so close to God, praising and honoring and worshiping God, and the next minute we find ourselves that trouble is at our doorstep again. Well, you see, that's life, and as we're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, expect that, because that old devil, and maybe you don't even believe in a literal devil, well, you best believe in a literal devil, because he exists, he is here, and he is present, and he is trying to destroy any work that God is putting into place. You wonder why the condition of our young people are so, that they worship themselves more, parents worship their children more. It's because the old devil has deceived so much that people think that that's a right and proper way. Well, it's not. We're to praise and honor God, not our children. Please, that you turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, children. Parents, you turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and you begin to rear your children properly in the godly way, not in man's ideas and his ways. We find now, as we're to Bethel, and we have the offering coming, and everything is just seems to be perfect. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. At this time, Rachel travaileth, and she was hard labor. There's going to be one more child born, and that young man is named Benjamin. And as Rachel, as she is giving birth to Benjamin here, why, something's going to happen, and that is that she's going to die. And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said to her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, for she died, that she called his name Ben-Oni, but his father called him Benjamin. Rachel died, was buried in the way of Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. Now, we're going to begin, as we look at the way that Jacob buries Rachel and things that go on there, and we'll finish up the chapter next time we come together. But I want you to see, back where Jacob made the decision to get rid of the gods, he found his way that this Deborah, this nurse, dies. We come through another time when he is offered a blessing, and then we find that Rachel dies, but not before she has given Jacob, Israel, one more son, Benjamin, 12th son. Now we have complete the 12 sons for the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is a pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And then he journeyed on. Now, I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as we go through verse by verse of this life of this man named Israel, Jacob. We continue, and if you have were listening, you'll find that Jacob dies at the end of this chapter. But his family is just beginning. My dear friend, as you look at your life, I hope that your life, the old man is dead, but I hope you in new life are beginning to walk with Jesus Christ, beginning to serve Him and honor Him and worship Him. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?